Okay, well, we will go ahead and get started. Close to time. So, we're going to be back in the book of Jeremiah for a little bit again, and we will be stepping back in time with Jeremiah as he's writing at this point in the book of Jeremiah. He's writing concerning Zedekiah, the king of Judah, who was a bad king, another bad king in the midst of bad kings. But his grandfather, Josiah, was one of the last of the good kings, about the last good king. And we, as he writes to about Zedekiah, you remember, locked him up in prison because of his because he prophesied against the king and against the southern kingdom Judah, against Jerusalem. So he locks him up, imprisons him because of that. And then after after Jeremiah's been put in prison, amongst the many things that he suffered as a prophet, he now writes in chapter 35. He dealt with a nomadic tribe who was obedient to their forefather Jonadab, and so these Rechabites, they were obedient, but Judah, they were not obedient to their God at all, and so God was going to punish them because of their disobedience. So this morning, as we pick up in chapter 36 also deals with Jehoiakim, who was the king in chapter 35 that he addresses there. And as we begin, we do have some time settings we'll notice as we get into the text in a little bit. But he very specifically refers to the time frame. And so 35 and 36 are inserted into a later period, though. And like I said, they probably took place someplace between 11 and 20 years earlier before he writes to Zedekiah. And he writes concerning Jehoiakim's time. Now, just again, Jehoiakim, he picked up and he reigned from about 598, and he picked up his reign in there, and he reigned for quite a while. He was one of the longer kings, from around 609-610. I gave you a wrong date, but it was down to about 588 or so. But Zedekiah becomes king in 588. So we're stepping back to the year of about 605 and 6 to 604 B.C., in the setting of chapter 6, and so it's very precisely stated there as to what is happening. Now, in the reigns of the kings, you had a Jehoiachin, Jehoiakim, Kaniah, Jeconiah, his names. He has three names that he goes by, and he reigned for 3 months before he was removed from the throne. So he had a very short reign over the southern kingdom. And then Nebuchadnezzar replaced him. And if you will, before we look to the Lord and begin, let's go back to 2 Kings for a moment, 2 Kings chapter 24, and we'll just pick up a little bit of this this history as we come down to see this fellow Jehoiakim, and his reign was very, very short, though. So we're looking at 2 Kings chapter 24, and we will look at verses 6 and 7. And we come to the end of Jehoiakim's reign, though. He comes down to his end, and he says, "So Jehoiakim slept with his fathers." Now we can track Jehoiakim back, and he goes right back to Josiah. And so, Jehoiakim slept with his fathers, and Jehoiakim, his son, reigned in his stead. Now, at this time, Egypt was the big power, and Pharaoh Necho was the ruler of Egypt. And so it says, "And the king of Egypt came not again any more out of his land. For the king of Babylon had taken from the river of Egypt, from the Nile all the way over to the river Euphrates, all that pertained to the king of Egypt. And so now Nebuchadnezzar has stepped into power, and we're looking when Jehoiakim was in his fourth and fifth year of reign, when he was beginning his reign, that's when Nebuchadnezzar took over. And so Nebuchadnezzar has taken over. But it says in the eighth verse, Jehoiakim was 18 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. 3 months, very short reign. And his mother's name goes on to give that. And he did evil in the sight of Jehovah. Nebuchadnezzar comes, he besieges the city, he removes Jehoiakim, and so on. You can read the rest of that, and I think we have referred to that before. But when we come over into Jeremiah chapter 36, we're back into the reign of Jehoiakim before Jehoiachin, but we will notice that there will be a prophecy that's fulfilled relating to Jehoiachin, Kaniah, Jeconiah, in this chapter as we move into it. And so the chapter does give prophecy. It goes back to prophecy before that related to the days of Jehoiakim and the things that Jeremiah was to write in a scroll. He was to write these things down and give them to Jehoiakim. But Jehoiakim, being an evil king, is going to destroy everything that he writes. He's going to get rid of it, and then it will be rewritten. So it's an interesting thing in this chapter. We do have some things that we look at when we study the subject of bibliology, the doctrine of the Bible. We do look at this chapter, and we see how the word of Jehovah came to be written down in a scroll. And interestingly enough, we have passing down through many manuscripts and down through the years, ultimately the Hebrew text of Jeremiah's day was translated in various ways, but it was translated into English, and we can read it today, even though old Jehoiakim wanted to destroy the Word of God and get rid of it because it didn't appeal to him. It was against him. And so he had no respect for God. He had no respect at all in his response to the prophecies from Jehovah. And so as we come into chapter 36, let's go ahead and look to the Lord, and then we'll move into the study of this chapter. Father, we're grateful again for your word as we have opportunity once more to look into it. We're thankful again for a warm building to meet in today, and just for the opportunity that you've given us in this country to assemble freely, and we're grateful for that. We're thankful again for the indwelling Holy Spirit, the author of Scripture, and we're thankful that as we look into your word that he's the one who can enable us to put things together and to understand them, and then we can appreciate them. Even as we look at these things that relate to doctrine that we believe, but not things that we practice, but as we look at some history, and as we look at things that prophecies pertaining to the past with some that will pertain to the future, again, we're just thankful again that it is your word, and that you have allowed us to see your mind as we look into these things, and we're grateful for that now. Amen. Now, as we begin, we look at the instruction from the word of Jehovah to Jeremiah to write prophecies concerning judgment to come against Israel, against Judah, and against the nations, the Gentile nations. And so there, it's laid out right at the beginning. And once more, we're going to see that the word from Jehovah, the word of Jehovah, was to Jeremiah. But he lays out the time frame first and gives the setting. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim. And so this would have been about 605 B.C. And then it goes on, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. that this word was unto Jeremiah from Jehovah, saying. And so the word came, and this again was a meeting of the pre-incarnate Son of God with Jeremiah, and he did speak to him, and he actually spoke to him and gave him some instruction as to what he was to do. And he's to prophesy, though, as we'll see in the next verse, he's to prophesy against these. Now, I want to take a moment before we get into verse 2 and go back to 25 and verse 1. Jeremiah 25, verse 1. And here you have the word that was to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. That was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And so that sets us up again. This was Nebuchadnezzar's first year of reigning in Babylon at this time when it comes to the fourth year of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. And so Nebuchadnezzar now becomes the world force to be dealt with and to be related to. But as we move into verses 2 and 3, he's to write in a scroll. He's to write in the roll of a scroll. And he uses a couple terms to describe that. Here he says, take thee a roll of a book. And so this is something that was rolled up in a scroll. And we could assume here it would either be a vellum, that would be a fine parchment. It would either be a leather, or it would be papyrus material, which is likely what it was because of the way that it's cut up. But it came out in sheets, and these were glued together to form a book, to form a scroll. And when it says a book, it was a roll, it's a scroll. And so this is what a book was in those days. They didn't have books like we have with two sides that were bound together and you turn the pages until about the end of the apostolic era, maybe a little after that. And so what you have is just a roll. And we're familiar with the kind of scrolls that they had. I'm sure you've seen pictures of them and such, the scrolls of that the Jews used. In fact, they would use those in their synagogues, no doubt today, in some places. I'm sure they do that. And in Israel, I've seen pictures of them and with their scrolls. Anyway, so he's to take a scroll, though. And so he has this papyrus scroll. And the instruction is to write therein. We're in Jeremiah 36, by the way. And so he's to take the scroll, though, and he's to write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations, and so against the Gentiles too. So he's written quite a bit, but notice when it begins, from the day that I spoke unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. And so right up to this day that he's to speak here in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, he is to write all of that down that he's written before. Now, if we go back to Jeremiah chapter 1, we can see that it identifies Jeremiah in verse 1, but it says in verse 2, to whom the word of Jehovah was in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. And it tells you when he began, when he began to write. And he was also, and it in verse 3 it says it came also. We would say he was. And so the pre-incarnate Son of God, he was appearing here also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, king of the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem, and so on. So you have some time frames here as we look at it, but he refers back beginning in the days of Josiah. So he had started this prophecy many years earlier, dealing with Josiah, and then through Jehoiakim. And remember, Zedekiah, when Jehoiakim, the son of Jehoiakim, was removed from office, Nebuchadnezzar set up the brother of Jehoiakim, Zedekiah, to be king, and he's the king that Jeremiah is going to be dealing with. He's been dealing with him, and just inserts these things as illustrative to Judah as to what had taken place in the past in Judah. So he's to write all of these things, but he's to write what he's spoken, the words that Jehovah spoke unto thee against Israel, Judah, and all the nations. But it's to begin back at the beginning when Jehovah spoke these words to him. And most of these things before this, he didn't write them all down necessarily. We will see that he has written before in a book, but then much of what he, the prophecy he got, he went out and spoke it orally. He spoke it vocally to the, gave it orally to the king and to the people and so forth. But now he's to write it in a scroll, all of these things going back, way back in time there. Now he goes on in verse 3, it may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them. So he's warned them, he's given them warning, he's told them that Nebuchadnezzar is going to come in, he's going to destroy the land, going to drag them off, he's going to kill, he's going to take over the land, he's going to destroy Jerusalem. He's given that prophecy to them, but he is to write these things in a scroll now, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their perversities and their sin. And so he wants to, he's writing it for a purpose. Now, as we pause for a moment, we see that this is what's going to happen. But God, the Son, the pre-incarnate Son of God, did give prophecy to Jeremiah. Jeremiah heard these things. He taught these things. He told these things to the people. He went through some object lessons that were not nice, that he had to go through. He had to go through many things as he dealt with these people, with God's people who were very absolutely disobedient. As he did these things, they never responded. And yet, back there in the days of Jehoiakim, he was to write these things in a scroll so that they could, or that they might, respond. Well, they aren't going to respond, but they do have opportunity once more. But with the writing of these things, and they're going to hear it all. They're all going to hear it. And so he does this. He's going to do what Jehovah told him to do in the next verses. And so then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words from Jehovah, which he had spoken unto him upon a roll, that is a roll of a scroll. And so a roll of a book, but he wrote it down. Now the interesting thing is, when we consider this, dealing with the writing of this, he uses what we refer to as an amanuensis, and the amanuensis was sort of like a secretary who would dictate it, and the secretary would write it down. But here was this scribe, Baruch, and he seems like he was likely more than just somebody who was a private servant to Jeremiah, because Jeremiah has dealt with this fellow before. And the name Baruch, the son of Neriah, we have seen back in chapter 32 and verse 12. And this was when Zedekiah took Jeremiah, put him in, and imprisoned him, and so on. And so while he was there, though, his cousin came. His uncle had property. It was part of the family property, and he had the right as a kinsman to redeem it, to redeem the property. And he was told to do so by the word that was from Jehovah. So Jehovah told him to go and to purchase this property even while he was there, and so he did that. Now in verse 12 of chapter 32 it said, "And I gave the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch the son of Neriah, the son of Maaseiah, in the sight of Hanameel, mine uncle's son, and in the presence of the witnesses that subscribed the book of the purchase before all the Jews that sat in the court of the prison, and I charged Baruch before them, saying." And so He goes on and describes what Jehovah told him to do in purchasing the land. Well, Barak was a scribe, and so now he does use Barak now as a personal scribe, though, and he does call for him to come and to take down the words that Jehovah had given to Jeremiah to speak unto the sons of Judah. And so that's just what we find him doing at this point. And so he does just as Jehovah told him to do. And he says, anyway, he does write all these things upon a scroll. Now, we'll pick up these words as we go through here. But I think we'll just pause just for one moment and stop and think with me how this begins. It's the word that comes from Jehovah. We'll see that. We'll see these were the words of Jehovah. Down in verse 6, he speaks of the words of Jehovah, the book of the words of Jehovah in verse 8. And then later on, we see the words of Jehovah in verse 11. But in verse 10, it does speak of the words of Jeremiah. And so Jeremiah did speak these words to Barak, but these were the words, the very words of Jehovah that he gave to Jeremiah to speak against not just the Jews, but Israel, Judah, both kingdoms, the northern and the southern kingdom. He was to record all of those and also against the Gentiles, the nations. And so he's to speak all of these things. Now, if we start, where did these words come from then? The words came from Jehovah. And so these words began in Jehovah's mind. Jehovah has something he wants man to know, a specific group of people. He wants to know some things. So it starts out in the mind of Jehovah. Then Jehovah, the free incarnate Son of God, comes as the Word, and he speaks to Jeremiah. So now, as he speaks these words to Jeremiah, where do these words end up? Now, this is a unique thing. Other places, there were dreams, there were visions, there were other ways that God communicated. He even spoke to Moses out of a burning bush. But he could speak in various ways. He spoke to Abraham on the plains of Mamre as a man. But he spoke he did communicate to man things that he wanted man to know. But here the pre-incarnate Son of God was. He appeared to Jeremiah, and as he did, he spoke the words that he wanted the people of Judah to know. So as he speaks them, they come to the ears of Jeremiah. Now they're in Jeremiah's mind. And now what happens? Well, Jeremiah could have written it down, but he used a scribe instead. And so he has a scribe, and the scribe does as Jeremiah was told, to get a roll of a scroll and to take that and to inscribe upon that the words of Jehovah. So now these words are in Jeremiah's mind. He has announced these things from the days of Josiah up until the time of the 604th year of Jehoiakim. And so he has... He's heard these things. He's told these things to Israel, but now they're in his mind. Now, what God does, he has Jeremiah give these words to Barak, and so Barak, it's the word of God as it comes to Jeremiah's mind, and as Jehovah speaks to him and tells him, so now he takes that which is in Jeremiah's mind. And Jeremiah now speaks these words, the very words of God, but God uses Jeremiah, Jeremiah's personality, Jeremiah's vocabulary, the instances of Jeremiah's life, the things that have happened to Jeremiah. He takes all of those things together, and through that he expresses exactly in the words that he wants spoken, he expresses it through Jeremiah, exactly what he wants man to know. And so Barak, he hears it and he writes it down word for word. And so it comes down to a scroll. And so it's written on a scroll. And so what do you have in the scroll? Well, what came out was the Word of God. And so this was the Word of God, a portion of the Word of God. a specific portion of the Word of God, but yet it came from the mind of God, and it was just what he wanted the people of Judah to know. And he had a purpose that they might cease from their evil, that they might get away from their perversity, the thing that would lead up, that led them up to many sins. He worked on them in that way to bring them to a place where they would change. But this was the Word of God. And so as we look at it, the words that were written on the scroll were precisely just that, the Word of Jehovah. And so you had it now in a written form. And so that's one place. This is one place we see this. Now elsewhere, God gave his law. He gave his law how? Written in stone. A couple tablets of stone. He did it twice. But he did write things by the finger of God. That would be by the Holy Spirit. But these things were written down so that man could know them. And it's something that we can know. We can see, learn from the history back here. We don't live it, but we can learn it. If you will turn with me over to 2 Peter chapter 1, though, for a moment, and we won't be going through a whole study of bibliology, but we want to come over here and just notice a description. There's some good verses that tie together with this. I'm just going to settle on the last verse of 2 Peter chapter 1, though, verse 21. And as we look at this, he says, for a prophecy, it doesn't say the prophecy, doesn't have the article, so what he's saying is that any prophecy, anything that was a prophecy from God, any quality of prophecy, it came, it's the word to bear, it was born not in old time, it says, but we should read that it was not born at any time, not just old time, but it wasn't born at any time by the desirous will of man. And so the prophecies back here in Jeremiah, it wasn't Jeremiah's idea, as we've seen. Jeremiah didn't come up with it, so it wasn't by Jeremiah's will. But notice, it goes on to say, but, and makes a strong contrast here, but rather, holy men from God spake. Now it's interesting, he uses the word for vocally speaking here. To express not the content of what is spoken, but they spake as they were borne along. Now, it's not just moved, but they were literally borne along by the Holy Spirit. And so notice, they were borne along by the Holy Spirit. That's just what was taking place back here in Jeremiah's day, as we find it described in Jeremiah 36. Jeremiah was borne along by the Holy Spirit, and as he spoke these words to Baruch, Baruch wrote them down word for word as it came from the mouth of Jeremiah, and he wrote down all the words that came from Jehovah, which he had spoken unto him, and he wrote it down where? In a roll of a scroll. So he wrote it down and for man to read. And again, we'll come back to that purpose, that they would turn from their evil ways and so forth. Now, as we come down to verses 5 through 10, you have the sending of Baruch to the temple to read the scroll to all the people. And the thing we find pointed out here is that the inability for Jeremiah to go, he can't go because of some of his previous messages that he's spoken in the temple, he's been banned from the temple, so he can't go. Now, we have seen him at the present time in Jeremiah. We have seen him being incarcerated, but this is before he was incarcerated, and so this is. But anyway, he's forbidden to enter into the temple grounds, and so he sends Baruch instead, and we're in Jeremiah 36. And so Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up, I cannot go into the house of Jehovah. And again, he's kind of incarcerated at this point in time. He says he's shut up and he can't go. Now this is in the days of Jehoiakim, not Zedekiah. But as he's locked up and he can't go into the temple. Now, as we come into the next verse, you have the instruction of Barak to go to the temple on a feast day. And then he's to read the words. And so he continues on, "Therefore go thou, you go, and read in the roll, in the scroll, which thou hast written from my mouth, the words of Jehovah in the ears of the people in Jehovah's house upon the fasting day." And notice again, these are the words of Jehovah that were written from Jeremiah's mouth. So again, starts with God, passes down to Jeremiah. He speaks them to Jeremiah. Jeremiah now gives them to Barak. Barak writes them down. So they're all written in the scroll, but they are the words of Jehovah. They're the words from Jehovah, and he's to read it on upon the fasting day. Now, we don't know which fasting day this is, per se. They didn't really have a lot of fasting days at this point. This isn't referring to the Day of Atonement or a time like that. But as the history of Israel goes and Judah goes on, as they're in captivity, whenever there was some calamity, something that caused fear and destruction, ruin, maybe the death of a king, they would declare a fasting day. So he's to wait for a fasting day and to read it from the, and it's to be, you shall read them in the ears of all Judah that come out from their cities. And so he's reading it to the whole southern kingdom when they get together. So he's to go to the temple on the feast day, though, when there's an assembly of the people from all over Judah. And so there's a potential, though, that they just might respond. And Jehovah told Jeremiah that in verse 3 that maybe they would change. Maybe they would turn from their evil. But that in verse 7 it may be they will present their supplication before Jehovah, or their supplication will fall, and will return everyone from his evil way. So there is that potential. There was a potential that they could change, but we're going to see they weren't going to change. But he goes on to explain why. "For great is the anger and fury that Jehovah hath pronounced or spoken against this people." So Jehovah's not happy with them. He's spoken things, and these things are written down in the scroll, the things that up to this point in time that Jeremiah has spoken to the people, and now that he has written down the words of Jehovah. And so he gives them ample opportunity, though, when this takes place. Now, as we come to 8 through 10, the scroll is read in the temple, and it is read to all the people. And so verse 8 goes on to describe that. "And Barak the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book of the word, book the words from Jehovah in Jehovah's house." And so again, just that emphasis through this chapter, these are the words of Jehovah. These aren't Jeremiah's words. They're not the words that some man wanted to write down. This came directly from Jehovah through Jeremiah down to the scroll. And now you have Barak the scribe going into the temple, and he reads the very words that were the words of Jehovah to the people. Now in verse 9, "And it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month." So now we started off in verse 1 in the fourth year. And so the fourth year is coming to an end, and now we enter into the fifth year of Jehoiakim. And this would be probably around November, December. And that makes some difference, as we will get into the context a little further down as to the time frame, because this was a time when it could get cold. And so it was cold in Jerusalem. But this would be this was when they proclaimed a fast before Jehovah to all the people in Jerusalem and to all the people that came from the cities of Judah unto Jerusalem. So now they've all come together, and now again we have Barak there to read these words. And that's just what he will do. "Then read Barak in the book the words of Jeremiah." Now notice it says here the words of Jeremiah, and we referred to that as earlier as we were looking at the words of Jehovah. But now it's the book, the words of Jehovah. But he read it in the house of Jehovah, in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the higher court, at the entry of the new gate of Jehovah's house, in the ears of all the people. Now, again, we've seen the chambers, and so this was in the outer courts where you had rooms around where they had storage and where priests would sometimes dwell and where you also had meetings and things. Well, this was a prominent place, apparently, where he could be seen and heard. And so it was from this chamber that he reads from the scroll. And so that he does just as he was told to, as Jehovah told Jeremiah, these words were to be read. Now Jeremiah, he's shut up, he can't go himself, so he sends Barak, and Barak reads the words, and he does it in the ears and the hearing of all the people. So they hear these words, and these are the very words from Jehovah that has started out back when Jeremiah began to prophesy. With God gave him the prophecy. He spoke the prophecy to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah spoke them to the people. But now he writes it all in a book, and a scroll of a book, and so a scroll. And so this is the account of the, now it's been read. Now the scroll is going to make its way over to the king's offices and to king's house. It's going to have an effect upon those who are in the king's court. And so as we come to verses 11 through 19, it's going to describe how it gets into the king. Now, not all of the officials of Judah were there at the time. So as you look down to verse 11, it says when Micaiah, the son of, hey, we've heard of Micaiah before. But anyway, we know a Micaiah, not this one, though. But I'm assuming this is where he was, the man he was named for. But Micaiah, and now Micaiah, he's not a bad guy here, but when Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, had heard out from the book all the words of Jehovah. And so again, these are the words of Jehovah, the words that came from Jehovah. And these were all the words of Jehovah. Nothing added, nothing taken away. These were the words that were spoken to Jeremiah, as they were written down, and as then as he had them written down. And so you have this, he heard these things. Now, the other officials, the officials weren't there. And so it goes on. Then he went down into the king's house, into the scribe's chamber. So he departs the temple and goes over, and lo, all the princes sat there, even Elishama the scribe, and Deliah, the son of Shemaiah, and Elnathan, the son of Achbor, and Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, and Zedekiah, the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. And so you have these different officials there, different Zedekiah, but you do have these, the princes of the, and the officers, the officials of the southern kingdom here. We're going to take a look at these men a little bit later, some of them. But you notice Gemariah, he's the father of Micaiah, though. And so he's his father is one of the officials. So anyway, Micaiah gets there, and Micaiah declared unto them all the words that he had heard when Barak read the book in the ears of the people. So the words, but which words are these? They're the words, well, he said the words of Jeremiah, but no, they're the words of Jehovah. And so that's the whole point that we're spending a little more time on this, because the inscripturation of the contents of Jeremiah up to this point. And so this is how it came to be written, so that man could have it in hand. Now 14 through 19, we do come to a call by the princes for Barak to come. So Micaiah tells them what Barak had read. Now they want to hear it for themselves, so they send for Barak himself. Therefore all the princes sent Jehudai, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushi, unto Barak, saying, take in thine hand the roll, or the scroll, wherein thou hast read in the ears of the people, and come. So Barak the son of Neriah took the scroll in his hand and came unto them. And so he comes into the place where the officials are gathered together, and now they want to hear it for themselves, straight from Barak. And so he'll read it to them, and we'll see the effects upon them. And they said unto him, "Sit down now and read it in our ears." And so they want to hear it in their ears. So Barak read it in their ears. And here's the effect that it has upon these officials, though. "Now it came to pass, when they had heard all the words, they were afraid, both one and another. And so it didn't matter, each one, high-born man and his neighbor, and said unto Barak, 'We will surely tell the king concerning all these words.'" And so there's a little fear. I don't know that the fear is because of what Jeremiah has written so much as it is that they're going to have to go before the king and give him these words that are not going to be very popular. But again, where did these words come from? They came from Jehovah. And so they are the words of Jehovah. Now, as we come further on, moving on down to 17 and 18, we have an interesting thing that goes back to how it was written. And so they want to know how Barak came to have these words. And so they ask Barak, saying, "Tell us now, how didst thou write all these words at his mouth?" And so how did you do this? What process did you follow to write these things down from Jeremiah's mouth? So Barak tells him. Then Barak answered them. He pronounced all these words. Literally, he just called all these words. He called all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in a book or upon a scroll. And so he wrote them upon a scroll. But again, we see that Jeremiah called these words out. He gave it word for word, and Barak wrote them down with ink upon the scroll. And so this was how you had the inscripturation of Jeremiah up to this point, very clearly described. And so it started in the mind of Jehovah, came down to, as he spoke it to Jeremiah. Jeremiah became part of Jeremiah's mind, and using Jeremiah and his personality, his vocabulary, his style, everything that and using things from Jeremiah's background, when he spoke these words to Barak, they were exactly the words that were in Jehovah's mind that he wanted Judah to know. And he also something that mankind can know. We can still read it today. Now, as we come to the 19th verse, you have instruction by these men that that Jeremiah and Barak should go hide. And so, "Then said the princes unto Barak, Go hide thee and Jeremiah, and let no man know where ye be." Now we'll see a little bit later that Jehovah does hide Jeremiah out where they won't find him. Now again, this was kind of a desperate thing for Jeremiah and for Barak, because the king, he has a reputation. And we can see some of what the king did if we go back to chapter 26, verses 20 through 23. We see what he did with the prophet Urijah. And we passed through here at one time. But going back to chapter 26, beginning in verse 20, "And there was also a man that prophesied in the name of Jehovah, Urijah the son of Shemaiah, of Kirjath-Jearim, who prophesied against this city and against this land according to all the words of Jeremiah." And so Jeremiah's prophecy had come, come true, but this man spoke these words. "And when Jehoiakim the king, with all his mighty men and all his princes, heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. But when Urijah heard it, he was afraid and fled and went into Egypt. And Jehoiakim the king sent men into Egypt, namely Elnathan the son of Achbor." Interesting. We'll see that name again. Keep that name in mind. We saw it listed with the officials who were gathered together when Micaiah went and told them the words that Barak had read. but Elnathan the son of Achbor and certain men with him into Egypt. And they fetched him, they carried him out, carried Urijah out of Egypt, and brought him unto Jehoiakim the king, who slew him with the sword, and cast his dead body into the graves of the sons of the people, just the common people. And so they got rid of him, and nevertheless the hand of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah, that they should not give him into the hand of the people to put him to death. But you see, Jehoiakim, he had no mercy, and when words were spoken against him, he just hounded the guy and ran him down and executed him. Well, God is not ready, is not through with Jeremiah or with Barak. So he has them go and hide. Now that brings us down to 20 through 26, and now the scroll is going to be read before King Jehoiakim. And they went in, the officials, they went in unto the king, unto the court, but they laid up the scroll in the chamber of Elisham of the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. And so they do rehearse all of these words, but they keep the scroll put away. And now the king wants to see the scroll. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the scroll, and he took it out of Elisham of the scribe's chamber, and Jehudi read it in the ears of the king and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. And so once more, you have the reading of the scroll. Now it's before the king. And the next part of this is kind of an interesting thing. This king has no respect for God, no respect for Jehovah. He has no respect for Jehovah's words, and he thinks that he can get rid of it. If he doesn't like it, you just dispose of it. So notice what he does as it's read. Now the king sat in the winter house. And this was just a place in Jerusalem, a place that was probably facing the sun, so it would be a little bit warmer in the winter. And it was in the ninth month, and so it is getting down to around December at our time, and it was cold. And so there was a fire on the hearth. It was probably the hearth would be something like our portable fire pit kind of things in the middle of the room to keep it warm and keep it heated up. And so it was burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, and so we see these would be leaves of the papyrus manuscript as he rolled it out, the king then took it and he cut it with a penknife. And so he cut or he tore it with a penknife, and he tore off a section at a time. So it was written in columns like this up and down, so when three or four columns were read, he'd take it and slice them off and cast it into the fire. So he thought, and so he used a scribe's knife that they would use to sharpen their pens and so forth, their quills or whatever, but he cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. And so, done with it. So he got rid of it, he cut it all up in pieces and tossed them individually into the fire, and thought that he could maybe get rid of this prophecy. But then as we come to the 24th verse, this scroll did have an effect upon the officials, and they were not afraid, but they weren't afraid, nor rent their garments. And so those who were there, but the officials who brought it in, some of them tried to stop him from burning it, though. But the king and others there, they rent not their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Now, his father, Josiah, when the book of the scroll of the law was found, he repented, and he did do the sackcloth and ashes thing, because he did see that this was the word of God. So he respect it. But the king, he doesn't. And so the king and his servants, they didn't respond to the message, just cut it up and destroyed it. Nevertheless, in verse 25, Elnathan, we saw him, this is the guy we saw. even the guy who had you brought Urijah back to be slain, he tried to stop the king. Elnathan and Deliah and Gemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the scroll, but he would not hear them. And so I suppose they put their necks on the line a little bit to try to stop him from destroying the scroll. And then as we move on to the next verse, the king gives instruction to Barak and Jeremiah in response to the reading of the scroll. And the king commanded Jeremiah, the son of Hamelech, and Sariah, the son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdiel, to take Barak the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet. And so he's going to get rid of those who are the source, to him, the human sources of the message. But you can't get rid of the source of the message. It came from Jehovah. So they wanted to get rid of the messengers, but Jehovah hid them. And so they were to go and hide, and yet we find here that Jehovah hid them so they couldn't be found to be killed anyway by the king in his anger. Now you have the rewriting of the scroll that's going to take place as we eventually get down through the last section here. And so we come to another time now. After this, the word from Jehovah was again to Jeremiah. And that's what we pick up in verse 27, where we have another appearance. And so then the word from Jehovah was to Jeremiah. After that, the king had burned the scroll, and the words which Barak had at the mouth of Jeremiah saying. And so now he has another message, what he's to do. And so he's to write the scroll again. And so this was not a small scroll at this point, but he's to write the words again. And so he says, take thee another scroll and write in it all the former words that were in the first scroll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, hath burned. And so for the second time, he's to write everything that was written in the first scroll down, and to dealing with the words concerning Judah, Israel, Judah, and the Gentiles. And so they write it again. Now in verses 29 through 31, you have Jehovah's statement concerning the burning of the scroll. Jehoiakim thought he got away with this, and he said, but now it says, thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus saith Jehovah, thou hast burned this scroll. You, emphatically, have burned this scroll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast? So why did you burn it when they said this? Now this, I can see why this is inserted here, because back in chapters before, when we got back to chapter 32 and following, when Jeremiah is giving personal things, personal prophecies concerning Zedekiah, that Zedekiah takes him and locks him up. That would be about chapter 33-34, but he took him and locked him up because of the words that were spoken against him. But now these are the words that were spoken against Jehoiakim, and so Jehovah he's to be asked from Jehovah why he destroyed this, why he did what he did anyway. And so just because he said that Nebuchadnezzar was going to come and destroy the land. Now, in verse 30, we come down to the promise that none of his seed is going to sit upon the throne. Therefore, thus saith Jehovah concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body, his carcass, his corpse, shall be cast out in the day of the heat, in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And so he's going to die. And that's the promise here. He's not going to have anybody to sit upon the throne of David. Now, that takes us back to some things we've been noticing going through Jeremiah's prophecy, though. When we were back in 2 Kings, we noticed back there in chapter 24, verses 6 and 8, that Jehoiakim sat upon the throne for 3 months, and he was hauled off by Nebuchadnezzar. So his reign was very short-lived. That was the end of it. We saw in chapter 22 that he was to be written childless. And we can go to the genealogies in Matthew. Go to the genealogy in Matthew. And it comes down to, you do see Jeconiah, this guy Jehoiakim. Kaniah, he did have offspring, but none of them sat upon the throne of David. And so ultimately, in Luke's gospel, we saw that instead of coming through Solomon and down through this line of kings, it comes down through Nathan and comes down to Mary. And so we've covered that before. But this man he was not going to have an offspring to sit upon the throne of David. Now, who sat upon the throne instead of Jehoiakim? Zedekiah. Who was Zedekiah? He wasn't Jehoiakim's son, he was his brother. And so there was this line, there was not one. And then with Zedekiah, that will be the end of the kings of Israel until their promised Messiah, their promised king, would come, as we've noted at Christmas, when he came as a babe in the manger. And so this was but there was no seed of Jehoiakim to sit upon his throne. And so he is going to die, and he did. But notice in verse 31 it carries on, and I will punish him. I will visit, and really when punishment here, he's just going to visit him with punishment and his seed and his servants for their iniquity, their perversity, I believe it is. And I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem upon the men of Judah all the evil, all the calamity that I have pronounced against them. But they hearkened not. And so God gave prophecy. Jeremiah writes it, hears it. Jehovah spoke it to Jeremiah. Jeremiah speaks it, and Barak writes it down. And this is exactly what God had to say about Judah and about Jerusalem, about the kings of Judah, and as well as Israel and the Gentiles. And so, but Judah, they didn't listen to it. They didn't hearken. And so they had the opportunity again, though perhaps they would turn from their evil ways, but they didn't. So now, verse 32, we come down to the actual rewriting. So he told him in verse 28, take another scroll and to write these things down. And so then took Jeremiah another scroll and gave it to Barak the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. So you have an exact copy of what was burned in the fire. Interestingly enough, we have a copy. We have a translation of what was written down. And there were added, besides unto them, many like words. And so there were many words just like them that were written down in the scroll as he continued writing. And so this wasn't the end. Not only did he rewrite all that was written, but he added to it. And we probably have a hint as to how much was written with the rewriting as you go back down to, if you go over to Jeremiah chapter 51, you will see a reference there in the 64th verse to the words of Jeremiah. And so you have, we won't read verse 64 except at the very end it says, thus far are the words of Jeremiah. And so apparently this is the end of this letter back as he writes. But Jeremiah, there were words that were written in the book. And so we do have an illustration, though, in the Old Testament, how these words, in this instance, how they came from the mind of God down to a writing material. And so but the very words of God came to Jeremiah. That's the word of Jehovah was to him. And he spoke to him and telling him what to write, what to do. And Jeremiah did just that. So these words came down to the people of Judah. They had no response to those words. And so these, they were practically like atheists in the time because they thought they could get away with it. Jehoiakim even destroys the message that Jehovah gave to him. And yet, Jehoiakim, we saw it in 2 Kings 24, he did die, and he did that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah. He died, his son reigned 3 months, and that was it. And so it was a short-lived thing, but it happened according to the promises and the prophecies of Jehovah to the people. And ultimately, the next chapters, we'll come back to Zedekiah. And as we come back to Zedekiah, he is going to be going to meet the same thing that God promised him, that he is going to be he's going to be carried off. The people are going to be carried off. The land's going to be destroyed. Jerusalem's going to be destroyed. And all of that will take place. But just as the people back then, they ignored the word of Jehovah, we have a completed word of God today. Not just a limited amount written down for us, but we have the full word of God. We have the potential by the indwelling Holy Spirit to live in the light of that and to live out the life that we have within. So we have something a lot better than they did, and we have a lot more prospects than they did, and yet we have the same nature they had, except we have a new nature on top of that. So they could only bootstrap it and try to do what they needed to do by the law, but they failed over and over again. So this is going to lead up to their final judgment. For us, we have the options to live by the flesh or to be spiritual and to bring glory to God by what we do and say. So we have much more opportunity. We have much more going for us, not because of us, but by grace God has given us so much better things. So we can be thankful for that. Father, we're thankful again for your words. We've looked into it, and again, as we move on to through the rest of the day, just ask for your blessing upon it, and we'd be grateful for that now. Amen.